The best advice anyone ever gave me was two words. You can't. And you know what my response was? Two words. Watch me.
Hi, and welcome back. Thanks for giving us a try. We hope you enjoyed the first episode, and we appreciate you joining us here for our second episode.
Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome.
All right, so, we now have discussed finding our why. So what's the next step, Phil?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the different tools that are available to us, to start that journey and get ourselves underway, as well as maybe some of the myths along the way and maybe some more challenges that we can overcome.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
All right. So let's talk about a few basics at home to help you start slow. Some people aren't always ready to jump right into a gym membership. They want to begin at home, build a little confidence, get themselves on track, and then maybe jump into that gym or consider hiring the services of a professionally certified personal trainer. Certainly we recommend that, and we say that because we've learned the hard way. If you're really serious about your goals, whether it be fat loss, whether it be strength and conditioning, whether it be bodybuilding, whatever it is, when you hire a certified professional trainer that really knows the business they're in, knows the conditioning and training you're looking for, and we recommend you interview them, you're going to get a great start and you'll get a great result.
Yeah, and they'll be able to help you with the exercises that will benefit you in your journey, because not every exercise you see in the gym is something that might be good for what you're looking for. Just like, you know, every coach has a different specialty. Some, you know, specialize with fat loss. Some specialize in bodybuilding contest prep. Some do all of it. They'll be able to really help you decide what exercises to be doing and how many reps and the duration. And they'll be able to help you get started on that journey with a little smoother transition.
And like we said, especially if you've had any kind of injuries, surgeries, things like that, you can do basic stuff on your own. You know your own level of comfort, what hurts, what's good pain versus what's bad pain. But having someone that really knows what you can and can't and shouldn't do is very helpful. So anyway, let's talk about the positive steps we could take towards your goal at home. Something simple to get you started. Many people do begin their fitness journeys at home without traditional weightlifting equipment, right?
Absolutely.
We have, I've done it myself. And we were just talking a little bit about how creative you can get with that. There's so many options.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, the biggest thing was COVID and all the gyms shutting down and everyone having to be at home. And I worked at that time at a group fitness class franchise, and we had to do everything from home. And a lot of our members didn't have dumbbells and resistance bands and, you know, all of those things at home, punching bags. So we found...
Improvise?
Yeah, we found ways to get around it. We used gallons of water, detergent bottles. Most people have a backpack in their home or a bag of some sort. You know, we told them to stuff it with various household items and then put it on their back and do some squats. And, you know, we just made it work with what we had.
Push-ups, anything.
Sure.
What are some of the exercises that you can do with the, water gallons or the detergent bottles or whatever you want to use, soup cans?
You can do anything from, you know, a front squat to hammer curls, overhead press, Bulgarian split squats.
Oof.
Yeah, not our favorite. walking lunges. You really can get pretty creative and do just about most exercises with, simple household items.
And you walk by so many things in your house without even thinking about it from the perspective of, you know, how this can be a part of your fitness journey, as silly as it sounds, but just your stairs. You may walk up and down your flight of stairs or your front stairs coming into your house or your stairs on your deck to take your dogs in and out dozens of times a day and not even think that, hey, in addition to walking these stairs, I can do exercises. You know, one of the ones we talk about are calf raises. A lot of times I'll do it myself, even after a workout. You know, I'll have a leg day and maybe I feel I didn't get enough repetitions or something in. I'll come home and I'll stand on the bottom step, use the railing for balance, and I'll do, you know, sets of 40 or 50 calf raises until you get the burn throughout your, you know, your calves and you know you're really working them.
I was just going to say, you don't really think about it, But once you start doing them, you realize that even with your body weight, you really do feel that burn. And sometimes you're even sitting there, you're like, I don't think I could do one or two more.
And it's about what you put into it. You know, you might do 10 reps and say, well, you know, I didn't really feel anything. You do 50 reps, you're going to start feeling it. So it's not always about the weight. It's about the time under tension for the muscles that are going to create and generate that growth. You know, in the same theory, you walk into your garage or your basement or maybe your attic. We are fortunate to have a walk-up attic with exposed beams, and you look up and you don't think at any time that this could be something you're going to use in your workout. But even going back to being a kid, when I'd work out with my neighbor, we would use his second level deck, and a lot of times we would use the support beams from there to do things like pull-ups or hanging abdominal crunches. And I do that now. I have part of my home gym is set up in my walk-up attic. I have it set up in two different places in the house. And we have the hanging straps from the rafters so that we can use those for abdominal crunches. We also have I took an old fence post from a chain link fence and I mounted it above the rafters so that we can use that as a pull-up bar in the attic. So it's just a matter of getting really creative.
And, you know, everybody uses the internet, going online and looking some of this up. Other people have done it. Other people have tutorials on how to build these things.
Yeah, we didn't invent it.
You can find it anywhere, and it's really sometimes more simple than you think. Once you just get started, you realize you could do so much, and really cost effectively too.
And, you know, these are all things that if you are on a bodybuilding journey, I don't want to leave that out, and we're going to continue to build through that. But these are starting steps for people that just don't know where to begin, but maybe have that dream or have that goal. And when we talk about exercises, I know, for instance, Danielle, with you living in a, you know, in an apartment versus a house, space is an issue. So, you know, what are some of the things you do at home that help you to, you know, fill in the gaps for those workouts or when you can't get to the gym?
Well, it's as simple as simple things like sit-ups, leg lifts, jumping jacks. You know, a lot of the first responder testing type of exercises, I know that's something we touch on. Mm-hmm. So it's great for when you're training for a first responders, you know, test. Those are all things that could be done at home. And just a little plug to my Fit page real quick. I also have an additional Fit page, which is Danny Nicole Fit on Instagram. We actually do a push-up challenge. Me and some other, you know, big fitness influencers and people out there that just love to get active. And we go out and we just do 15 push-ups, and most of the times everybody's doing them in their house.
Absolutely.
So it's funny to see that, you know,
and there's some
simple space.
And there's some creativity with it. I notice you guys get a little creative, different ways of doing it, you know, putting your feet on something or, you know, doing an incline push-up. So it's pretty interesting to look at what some people put into it. And you got to remember, if you're going to be creative or follow these things you see on the internet, you really have to know, though, what they're doing, if they're effective. Some people make these exercises up that, you know, look great, but they have no rhyme or reason for what they accomplish.
Right. You got to do, ultimately, what your body can handle and what's best for you. But, you know, it's just proof that space is not always the biggest issue, because you're able to get simple exercises done at home or in an apartment.
Takes the excuses away.
It does.
In reality,
it does.
That's what it does. And, you know, these are just some basic ways to get yourself started, build your level of comfort and confidence, and then you can progress to the next level. Hopefully, like we said, you know, getting out into the gym, learning a little more, gaining access to different equipment, and we're going to go through that here. So basically, your next option for those who may not be ready to jump right into the gym and want to go a little more than just the average home workout with some calisthenics and stuff, we'll talk about maybe setting up a home gym. And it doesn't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger's gym, although most of us would love that if it did.
Absolutely.
But a lot of us don't have the space or the money for things like that. So really, it's about building a home gym that's functional for your goals.
Yeah, I mean, even our home gym, which we'll touch on as we go into how to build one and what you can do. Ours isn't very big. Ours isn't very fancy, but it's just what works for us. And it gets us those workouts where we wake up a little bit late or, you know, just don't really feel like driving to the gym. We're able to get up, get it done, and it's effective.
You know, I'm one of those guys that tries to look at opportunity. And one of the things I saw after COVID was everybody was buying gym equipment. And being a former gym owner and person who's been around working out my whole life, you start to recognize that most people aren't going to use that equipment. I mean, we all know it. Everybody's had the treadmill that becomes the clothes drying rack, or the stationary bike that becomes the clothes drying rack. So I had said to the family, I said, I think what I'm going to do in case there's ever any more lockdowns is try to develop a space in the house for a home gym. It's not that large, maybe 10 by 12, I think. We took a bedroom that was not being used anymore and we converted it. And I went on Facebook Marketplace and I started searching for gym equipment. And lo and behold, it was exactly as I had suspected.
And you can make it fun. I know for us, we're big superhero fans. So our gym is all superhero themed and it makes the workout a little bit more fun going in there and seeing everything and just kind of being like a little kid in a candy store almost some days.
Yeah, that's what we tried to do, was say, how can we, you know, find a way that we can fit this into our budget, make it functional for what we need, make it fun. So as I mentioned, we jumped on Facebook Marketplace, we started doing our research, and it turned out that we were able to get some unbelievably high quality equipment for pennies on the dollar. And it really surprised me how many people were getting rid of it. And that's what I had heard from a lot of people, was either they bought it during COVID or just before COVID, or some even after COVID because they had been locked down and couldn't get to their gyms. And then as soon as the gyms opened up, they wanted the space back in their house, so they were getting rid of all this stuff. And we were very fortunate. I think in one instance, we got a commercial grade treadmill out of an unbelievably large multi-million dollar home for $15.
Yeah.
And I kind of joked with the gentleman who was selling it, and I said, $15. I said, is this a typo? Did you mean maybe 150? Because I knew what the value of this was. But exactly as I had been saying, this was sitting in his home office. He worked from home and it was kind of in the way. He wasn't using it. He wanted it out of there. And he said his wife told him he had to get something for it. So in the end, he said, just give me $15. And that treadmill's serviced us now for a couple of years and it's still going strong.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's as simple as just getting some dumbbells. That's one of the, I think, the most versatile and functional pieces that you could have in your gym. And you know, if you go on Facebook Marketplace and look up, you know, workout dumbbells, there's so many options. So you can find what's best for you and, you know, what works and what your space allows.
And that's exactly what we did. In a 10 by 12 or so space, we knew we didn't have a lot of room. And we thought, how could we fill this with stuff that would give us the most versatility? And Danielle, as you mentioned, the dumbbells were one of the first things that came to mind, because you don't have a 6 foot or 7 foot barbell that's gonna take up the whole room that you can't get around. And you can do a lot of those same exercises using dumbbells, whether it be squats, various types of squats. You know, if you do front squats, you could do regular squats, Bulgarian squats. You just gotta get creative with it. And then once you outgrow that particular weight, there are options to increase the tension with that without having to go buy more weights.
Right. You can go on and look for, you know, resistance bands. They usually come with, you know, multiple types of resistance, some a little lighter, some a little bit stronger. And, you know, you can use those. You can add them into your workouts. You can use the bands for certain leg workouts. Great for, you know, the one I think back on all the time is like the glute kickbacks. I use them for that all the time.
You could combine them with the dumbbells.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll doing pressing exercises, you know, we'll lay on the floor and do dumbbell presses. You don't even need a bench for those. And once you get to a point where maybe you've exhausted the weight that you have, you take one of the tension bands, you put it around your back in your hands and you grab the dumbbells. And now you've just added additional tension to that. And, you know, if you don't think that's going to do it, trust me, give it a try. You'll realize quickly.
And you can, you know, up your reps. If 10 feels easy, go for 12, go for 15. It'll definitely start to feel, you know, that tension and that burn and give you a really good workout.
And we do really stress the dumbbells because, again, in addition to the squats, I mean, we do a lot with them. We can do all kinds of presses, raises, rows, you know, shoulder presses, chest presses, bent over rows, lateral raises. There's just the variety goes on and on.
And it can go even into curls, bicep curls, you know, reverse curls, overhead tricep presses, kickbacks for triceps. I mean, there's an unlimited amount of exercises that you can use dumbbells for.
And again, we've mentioned a lot of people start their fitness and bodybuilding journey, and then for whatever reason, they give up. And in addition to getting some of these at low prices, we've had opportunities to get them for free because people just can't figure out or don't have a way to get them out of their house. So we have a few pieces of larger equipment down there that we've gotten for free. Stationary bike. We actually have a stair stepper, like a high quality stair stepper that we got for free. But one piece of advice I will give you is be careful when you're arranging these things. And I don't say that from a perspective of danger or concern. I say it more from the perspective of getting the equipment out of the house.
You want to find out what kind of space this equipment is in before you decide to go take it out, because you might also need help getting it out and need to bring additional people along.
So we've had some of those experiences as well. I've had friends join me on these, these pickups, and I've talked them into helping me out. We get there, and some of these things are buried so far in a basement, and they're enormous pieces of equipment. And you, just no matter what you do, you're not getting some of them out of the house. We had one, we took it apart. We tried everything. The angles just didn't work. And it turns out it must have been that the house had some modifications done to it after the equipment had been there, and no one gave any thought to that. So we wound up having to put the equipment back together for the gentleman and leave it there. So just something to think about when you're venturing out to start building your home gym. But let's talk a little bit now. We talked about some of the things you can put in the gym, but let's talk a little bit about the benefits of the home gym.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of them. Like anything else, there's pros and cons to everything. But with a home gym, it's really as simple as it's very minimal cost to equip, depending on your fitness goals. But if you do it, the Facebook Marketplace way, or finding used or equipment that people are trying to get rid of.
Amazon,
very cost effective. And it limits that excuse to avoid working out. It's in your home. It's very easily accessible. You don't need to get dressed, get ready. You throw on some old gym clothes and head on down there, and it's very simple.
It really takes away the excuses. I think one of the biggest ones is you don't have time to travel to the gym. Maybe, you're working late, you get stuck in the office. You get home, you want to eat something real quick, and you're thinking, oh, now I got to drive, 15 minutes down to the gym, change, and then, do my workout and drive back. So this takes that away. I mean, you just walk into the home gym and you jump on your treadmill for the half hour. What it would take you in travel time down and back, you just accomplished your workout in that time.
And I think something important to touch on too is, this whole idea that your workout has to be done all in one shot. We've learned very quickly that you can break it up, and it sometimes is better for you and your schedule. If there's days you can do it all together, great. But I know for us, we've done cardio in the morning separately. You've done yours at your home gym. I've done mine at my apartment gym complex. And then we meet up at the end of the night for a workout at the gym.
And that was one of the biggest benefits of getting the trainer when Rich came on board with us, and learning that the thinking that you have where everything has to be done, like Danielle's saying, if you can't finish your workout, you only have a half hour, but your workout takes an hour, and you can finish it later that night. You find a breaking point in the workout, and you get your reps done that you get done, and you come back later and you get the rest done. It's not about how many reps you get done in one session. It's about the overall reps that are done during the course of a week or a month. It's just a matter of maintaining that level. So again, that helps with that. Also, one of the big ones, you look at the weather we had, last night into today, you get snow and ice storms.
Yep.
Even though some people say, you'll hear people say, well, I belong to a 24-hour gym, I can go anytime, it doesn't matter, they don't close. And that's true. That's 100% true, and that's a great benefit. But the question is, do you want to travel, or are you less likely to travel in that weather and use it as an excuse not to work out? So it, takes away a lot of those excuses for you.
Yeah, and it's really convenient, especially if you miss that alarm by 5 minutes. I know I've done it, and I'm on a tight schedule in the morning. I got to be able to get showered, get ready to go. If I'm 5 minutes late, now I have to drive to the gym. Sometimes I'm like, is it worth going? You run out to your home gym, wherever you may have it, whether it be your garage or a room in your house. You hop on the treadmill and you get some of it done. Or you do half of that lift that you had scheduled and do all the things that your home gym equips you to do and save those other exercises for the gym later on.
And I think what we're really trying to drive home here is whether you're the beginner that's just not ready to be in the gym, or you're a seasoned athlete who's in the gym all the time, very comfortable, these are just opportunities to fill the gaps and get you to where you need to be along your fitness journey and kind of take away the excuses. So this is just some thoughts we have on it, some things we've experienced and the benefits we've seen. So we just wanted to share that with you for you to think about.
But now I think another huge portion of, you know, a healthy lifestyle and fitness is adding in our nutrition. Because like we always hear from our coach, you can't outwork a bad diet.
Right. You're never going to outwork a bad diet. And it's kind of important. I like to use the word nutrition plan as opposed to diet. It gets a bad rap. But when you're not sure what to do or where to begin, if your goal is fat loss at a minimum, just start out slow and begin in a caloric deficit. Cut your calories. People say, well, I don't know where to start. Well, I think in some ways we all know where to start. We need to give up those extra snacks or, you know, maybe make some healthier choices, because we're going to talk a little bit about the hidden calories that you'll find in some things. But again, no matter how much you work out, you will never outwork a bad diet. So the key is very simple. The equation is very simple. You really just need to move more and eat less.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I feel like I talk about often with my friends and, you know, people at work or wherever I am is, oh, you know, I worked out this morning, so I'm gonna get the lunch today, and then you know, it cancels it out. Well, it really doesn't cancel it out. It's you're eating what you worked off this morning, so you're right back to where you started in the beginning of the morning.
And, you know, being first responders, we've both experienced this, and this is part of what we'd like to talk about in the podcast too, is first responders and their fitness and health. But I used to do it myself. I was guilty of it. I got better with it at the end of my career towards the latter years. But when you're out there, you'll find an excuse. You know, you're busy, you're running from call to call or whatever. You hit whatever's open. You know, if it's the night shift and there's a diner in town or in a neighboring town and that's where you're going to get something, you know, it's pretty easy to say, hey, give me the, you know, Taylor ham, egg and cheese on a roll.
Yep.
I can eat this in the car real quick and, you know, a cup of coffee. But honestly, it's just as easy to ask for a grilled chicken salad and a fork, and it comes in a travel plate or bowl, and you can eat that in the car as well. It's all about choices.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even some of the like chain restaurants and, you know, fast food places are starting to have healthier alternatives, like, you know, instead of regular chicken nuggets, grilled chicken nuggets. If in a pinch, that might be the healthiest option you have, and you can, you know, do what you have to do with it, but trying to find that healthy option as opposed to just whatever's most convenient is kind of become something that I've done.
And don't be afraid to ask. I mean, especially we've learned this going through our prep seasons, is if you're going into a restaurant, it's not always just what's on the menu.
No.
A lot of times they'll make you stuff or, you know, kind of cater to your diet within reason. I mean, if it's something you're asking for that's kind of not on there, menu, you're not going to get it. But I mean, there's no reason you can't ask for a piece of lean beef or some chicken or, you know, a piece of fish, or just change up the vegetables, you know, make wiser choices. If you know that day, you know, you want to take in less carbs, maybe instead of having, you know, corn, you switch it out for broccoli or cauliflower. I mean, it's just making wise choices.
Yeah, a lot of places are more accommodating than you would think. And, you know, it's not hard to stay on plan when you go out. There's many times I've asked for just egg whites and grilled chicken and some broccoli, and they're happy to provide that for you. And even, you know, they're cognizant of how you want your meals cooked and what you want them cooked in and different oils and things like that. They're
That's a good point.
Very accommodating. If you ask, you know, to not have it cooked a certain way, most times I've never been told no.
Yeah,
I don't think ever.
I don't think I have either. But, you know, jumping into the nutrition plan here, you know, just touching on the very basics, and we'll get deeper as we go. But to jumpstart the fat loss, you want to remember it's not just about cutting the calories when you start watching your nutrition, but it's adding some of that exercise that we talked about. And when I talk about exercise, you know, I hear a lot of things about movement. People say, well, you know, it's okay as long as you move. You know, I vacuum or I mow the lawn or I rake the leaves, so, you know, I'm getting some exercise. Well, those are daily chores and functions. They're not really exercise. When you talk about exercise and benefits of exercise, a lot of it has to do with the rate and the amount of movement. So really what you want to look for is keeping your heart rate elevated for a period of time, usually 30 minutes or more. that's what's going to help burn off of those calories. You know, raking the yard, taking a break, vacuuming the floors, that's all good for movement. So you're not just being sedentary and you're doing things, but that's not going to jumpstart any kind of weight loss or create any kind of strength in your body.
You know, the best way to look at it, and you know, I was just thinking about this because I like to track all of my workouts. If you have any type of smartwatch, Apple Watch, if you look, it's like biking, running, walking, things like that are great. You know, you set your Apple Watch or, you know, whatever kind of watch you have, and you go. And it's that movement for that 30 minutes. You know, maybe you want to take your dog. You let your dog, you know, do their thing, sniff around, and then you, you know, get on the move and you guys go for 30 minutes. And now not only did you get good exercise, but you're helping your pet stay exercising and, you know, healthy as well.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's accountability. You know, I know people that swear by their watches, keeping them accountable to a certain number of steps or a certain number of movement, or, you know, to help watch calories throughout the day, whether it's your watch, your app, you track it in a notebook. Anytime you track something, it holds you accountable because it forces you to look at it. And that's part of the process that really keeps you on track.
Yeah. I mean, some of these smart watches will tell you to remind yourself to work out. It'll tell you when to stand up, when to breathe. They're great for being accountable. And, you know, even that little message that comes up, you know, check your activity today. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to get more steps in, or I got to get my cardio in. It's a good reminder.
And the key is not to just cancel that alarm. It's to actually take the warning and move forward.
Right. Plan out when your next workout is.
Yeah, because it's easy to hit, you know, dismiss and just move on.
But, right.
Well, we're talking about nutrition. One of the other things that comes up all the time, we hear people talk about the fad diets that are out there. And a lot of them target solely reducing carbohydrates or fats as a way of cutting weight. And, you know, these diets only appear to work because, yeah, you'll lose weight if you cut carbs or fats. But in reality, what you're doing is putting yourself into caloric deficit. And that's the key to losing weight. But there are challenges with those diets because they don't ensure that your body's receiving the proper nutrition it needs to maintain or gain lean muscle mass, which is critical, especially as we age.
Yeah. And I mean, I recently had done a keto diet when I was prepping for my show. And I noticed a huge difference when doing that diet, because when I first started, you know, it was very different for me from what I was used to. So I instantly started losing some weight. And I was noticing it on the scale, and, you know, I was getting very excited. But then I noticed very quickly that once I hit ketosis, I almost plateaued. And nothing was changing, but I was still feeling hungry. I was not feeling good. I was getting dizzy at the gym.
Headaches, right?
Headaches. I was getting, you know, nervous that during my cardio, I was almost feeling like I was going to pass out. And, you know, for some people it does work and it's great, but for me it really wasn't working. And, you know, I stick to working with Rich on, you know, my macros and sticking to those numbers. And I feel like I'm getting enough food and I'm, you know, healthy enough to go and work out. And, you know, it's not always what it seems. You look at some things online and people talk about how great this diet is and that diet is. And I lost this much weight and I feel this way because of this diet. But, you know, you got to do what's right for your body. But the key really is that caloric deficit and the exercise that'll, you know, start that journey for you.
Absolutely. And like we said, you know, I'm sure people will say, and I've had friends say it to me, they're like, well, you know, I lost 20 pounds on keto, or I lost, you know, 15 or 20 pounds on the Atkins diet, and they're all out there, South Beach, all that. And I don't agree or disagree that they can work for people in certain ways, but it all depends on what your goals are. And I think one of the things we stress is that we've identified, without a proper nutrition plan targeted for our individual bodies and our fitness goals with the correct amount of macronutrients, you'll continue to just see your weight fluctuate and yo-yo, you know, as you start to reintroduce carbs or reintroduce fats. You know, it adjusts your body and you're going to have all these different feelings and the weight will come back on. So, you know, just be aware of those things if you're going to look at some of those as options. It's better to keep it simple, as they say, and, you know, caloric deficit and more exercise. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I wanted to ask you, I know one of the biggest things when it comes to nutrition, people will say that within 30 minutes of completing your workout, you know, you need to consume protein. What are your thoughts on that one?
That's a good one. I've heard that a lot myself over the years. You'll see the guys and girls at the gym running for the protein shaker, or you know, running to buy the pre-mixed protein before they leave because they want to hit that 30-minute window. But I think right now they say the anabolic theory is still up for debate on that. It's encouraged to maintain a well-balanced diet and sufficient nutrient intake throughout the day, and you want to sustain, that'll help you to sustain and support muscle growth and recover effectively. And it'll keep you from having those spikes throughout the day too. So, you know, my understanding and my knowledge from learning this is that you're not missing anything if you don't have that protein within 30 minutes. It's not going to change the outcome. It's not going to make you a bodybuilder or not make you a bodybuilder. It's not going to make you stronger or weaker. It's just a matter of balancing your meals and your protein intake and making sure you hit those macronutrient numbers, you know, by the end of the day and staying towards your target goals. And again, you know, you get, let's just argue to keep it simple, you get a 2000 calorie a day diet with X amount of carbs, X amount of grams of fats, and X amount of grams of protein. Well, whether you eat that all in one sitting or you eat it over 24 hours, it's the same amount of food, the same amount of macronutrients. It's just that your body's going to feel better and respond better if you keep it nourished evenly throughout the day. So I don't think there's any need, or I haven't been shown or proven to, that there's any need to get a protein intake within 30 minutes of working out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I try to balance my meals and eat my breakfast, lunch, and dinner around the same time every day. It can be hard, you know, depending on scheduling and things that pop up, but trying to keep it consistent and then adding in those, you know, healthy snacks throughout the day when I'm feeling that hunger feeling, or I'm, you know, in need of something, maybe some cucumbers or some veggies, or, you know, some healthy options, some berries, just to keep me nourished throughout the day to hold me over to that next meal.
Yeah. And sometimes it's psychological too. You just feel you need something. You tend to see other people eating something. All of a sudden your body thinks you need to be eating something. And again, it's making those wise choices.
And something great that, you know, I've learned through my whole journey, when you are feeling that hunger and you know that, you know, you don't have enough, you know, left in your, you know, macros for the day, or you've eaten all your food for the day, or you want to hold off because it's only 10:30 and you usually eat lunch at noon, drink through a straw.
Yeah, slow it down.
Slow it down. And it also makes you feel like you're, you know, putting something to your mouth and then you're drinking. It's giving you that feeling. And I've done that so many times through prep when people next to me are eating, you know, burgers and going out for ice cream or getting that fancy coffee drink.
And it fills you up, makes you feel full.
It does. And it's just, I guess, like the mental thing about drinking through the straw, plus you're drinking probably a little bit slower than if you're drinking out of a bottle. It's helpful. It's a good tip.
Well, before we jump into the next section, I just want to touch one more thing on protein shakes. I have heard many guys over the years at the gym, various gyms, talk about, well, you know, I try to drink 3, 4, you know, whatever number of protein shakes a day in addition to what they're consuming. And I think a lot of people don't process the fact that, yeah, you're drinking something. So to them, it's almost like, well, if I'm drinking it, there's not a lot of calories. But depending on which proteins you're using and, you know, how many of them you're drinking, a lot of those, one serving could be anywhere from 150 calories to 250 calories, depending on, you know, which brand you're using. And if you drink 4 or 5 of those a day, I mean, do the math on top of what you're eating. And then people will say, well, you know, I'm working out, I'm taking my protein, but I'm not seeing the scale change, I'm not losing weight. They're not accounting for the caloric intake.
No. And that does add up. I mean, I noticed it. I did it with my coffee creamer. You know, I was tracking that I was having a coffee, but I didn't put in the fancy coffee creamer I was having. And I used to love my, you know, Funfetti flavored, you know, caramel macchiato flavored stuff, but they had a lot of, you know, hidden calories that I wasn't really thinking about, because I'm just like, oh, coffee tastes good. So now, you know, I've switched over to using like almond milk or almond milk based creamers that are a little bit better for you. And I remember to measure them now.
Yeah, less calories too. That happened to me with a period of time where I was having trouble with my fat loss, and it was the hidden calories. I remember Rich had asked me about my coffee intake, and I think at that point he was assuming I was drinking it black. And when I was telling him that I was having, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 cups throughout the day with 6 creamers in each one, at the end of the day, he goes, well, there you go. He said, just your coffee alone is exceeding your fat allotment and your macronutrients. plus you're counting the fat in your meals and not counting what was going into my coffee. And at the end of the day, I was eating double the fat. And when you do, you know, nine calories per gram, you start to realize those numbers add up really quick. And then you wonder why you're either not losing weight or putting on weight. But speaking of weight, as a beginner, I think any health, fitness, or bodybuilding journey, most people tend to focus on the scale.
Open a window, throw it out of there. Don't look at it.
Yep, I was guilty of this. I know you were guilty of this. And having learned the hard way, if there's any advice we can give to you on your fitness journey, avoid the scale at all costs, because it's really a false narrative. It's a false narrative of your overall body composition, because it doesn't differentiate between body weight and body composition. It just gives you one number of everything that you weigh at that time. And it becomes an enemy to motivation. I know so many people get hung up on it, get frustrated with it. They give up because they feel like they're losing ground. The scale does not account for the actual fat loss. It accounts for water weight and everything else that you have in your body. So what would you say, the best ways to judge your fat loss are?
Honestly, I know many people don't like to do it, but look at yourself in the mirror. That's the first one. You know, your mirror is your friend. It's going to show you your progress, and you're going to be able to see it, more than just a number, because you're now visually seeing how you look. Your clothes, if you're on a fat loss journey, you know, the minute those clothes start feeling looser and they were tight for a long time, well, clearly it's starting to work and you're starting to see things. And also progress photos, you know, whether you do them weekly or bi-weekly or whatever you choose to do.
And that's not for vanity.
No, it's really just for you to put them side by side. You know, you look at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month, you're going to see a difference. If you're following the nutrition, if you're doing the workouts, you're going to see a difference. And it's helpful for you because you see yourself every day. You're not going to see that drastic change until you put them next to each other after a significant amount of time has passed.
You know, the scale can be really troubling. You know, for me, it started to become a mental game. And I know I frustrated Rich, my trainer, terribly with it over the years. And he was very patient with me. But, you know, he really helped me come to understand that the number on the scale didn't matter. And it personally, it often impacted my level of training. And it made me feel a lot of times unmotivated. I know there were a few times I called him and said, I'm done with this. I'm throwing my hands up in the air. And I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was recognizing that my clothes were fitting better and fitting differently. And I still wasn't seeing the number on the scale changing. And that's what we've been kind of conditioned to with regards to fat loss. But the scale, as we said, really talks about weight loss. And it wasn't moving quickly enough. And I just couldn't mentally get past it. But in the end, I wound up during that particular venture going from a 37-inch waistline down to a 29-inch waistline, but the scale wasn't reflecting it fast enough, and that was mentally a struggle.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be the opposite for other people. You know, myself, I was going into college at probably a whopping 115, and I was skinny and scrawny, and I didn't want to be that way. I wanted to have muscle. I wanted to, you know, look better and feel better. So I was the opposite. I was trying to put on the weight and I was trying to build the muscle. And, you know, I've now noticed that my clothes are starting to fit a little tighter, my shirts, you know, in the arms and everything like that. And for me, that's exciting. And the clothes work in the reverse. For some people like me who want to, you know, grow a little bit, you get excited when those clothes fit a little tighter and they're a good indicator. And again, you know, the progress photos, they're just a really big tool for tracking your fitness goals and tracking your progress.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about bodybuilding. Frank Zane, as a pro bodybuilder, he was infamous for using only progress photos, took thousands of photos of his training, of the befores and afters to try to see where he was at. You know, it helped him really understand where he needed to be, because it is an aesthetic. You know, it's all about aesthetics and how you look in bodybuilding.
And that's something that I think Rich kind of helped you to see, you know, in these past couple of years, especially, I think it was this year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he always said to you that you don't have a weight class for bodybuilding, and it is all visual. And to help you kind of get that scale number out of your mind, what was the little experiment he had you do?
Well, it was interesting. I could tell he is such a patient man, and he was really, you know, helping me along the way and talking me through it. And then finally he said, I want to help you understand this. He said, I want you to do an experiment for me. And I said, okay. And he said, I want you to drink a certain amount of water throughout the day. We came up with that amount. He said, and then what I want you to do is between 4 p.m. and when you go to bed that night, so maybe around 10, 11 o'clock, he said, I want you to drink another gallon of water. And we were watching what I was eating that day. We were following my macronutrients. I was watching my sodium intake and stuff. And he said, I want you to weigh yourself when you finish that last gallon of water before you go to bed. And then I want you to weigh yourself first thing in the morning when you get up before you do anything else. And I weighed myself that night, and I remember looking at the scale and watching the number go up like 10 pounds from where I was that morning before I started this process. And I was just like, what is he doing? You know, I didn't understand. And I just knew that it felt like, you know, I kind of felt bloated because I was drinking the water. It felt like I had gained all kinds of weight. And when I woke up the next morning and stood on the scale, the weight had gone down by 10 pounds in just those hours overnight.
People don't realize how much, you know, water weight can impact that scale number.
And that really opened my eyes. And Rich used to say to me all the time, water in, water out, ebb and flow. Think of it like the ocean. You're going to take in water, it's going to go out. And there's a lot of things that are dependent on how much water your body holds and things we don't even think about. It's whatever you put in your mouth during the day. And I'm talking about everything from, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for everybody is sodium. You know, did I have a lot of sodium? But it's also any supplements you're taking, any medication you're taking. Many things can impact how much water our body retains and for how long it retains it.
Sure.
So that really helped me understand. I mean, since then, I don't think Rich and I have had any real issues with the scale. It really cleared my mind. I knew I didn't lose 10 pounds of fat overnight. And clearly, I didn't gain 10 pounds of fat in one day, because when you look at the number of calories it takes to put on a pound, you'd be sick before you could gain, you know, 10 pounds of food. So he's really great that way in helping understand that. And I really got past that. So we're not suggesting that you never weigh yourself.
Well, I might be.
Obviously, everybody wants to get an understanding of where they are, but you got to remember what the scale represents and know that it's not a true story of the amount of body fat you're either, you know, maintaining or losing. So if you're going to weigh yourself, definitely don't do it every day.
It's just it's not healthy for your mindset. It's not going to do anything to help you, you know, with your goals. And, you know, like we said, it kind of became a deterrent for us. So instead of going through that and, you know, having a kind of love-hate relationship with the process,
it was a hate for me.
We're trying to help you out here with saying once a week, sure, beginning of the week, end of the week, whatever you're comfortable with.
Stay
consistent and don't do it all the time, because we want to see you succeed and do well with your fitness journey. And by weighing yourself every day, you're just going to mentally mess with yourself.
And also remember, hydration's important, so don't just go throw out the salt, because everything has some benefit to it in a lot of ways. But make sure you're hydrating properly. Don't try to avoid it because you think it's going to add weight or change the number on the scale. Learn more about what your personal needs are, and that'll help you get through it. But let's talk about, you know, a few final thoughts you may have.
Yeah, I mean, I think putting it all together, you know, this episode, we just wanted to give you the best tools that we could think of to help you with that journey. So starting with, you know, home workouts, which can be convenient and helpful, to how to build that home gym so you can have those good home workouts, to, you know, getting your nutrition on track, because that's really the start of the journey. You know, the workouts, the nutrition, and putting all of that together, you know, and leading into the next episode of, you know, finding what gym works for you. You know, we'll talk about what to look for in the gym, what to not look for, what we like, what we don't like, and, you know, adding in that home gym workout as well, you know, how we incorporated that into our gym routine.
And, you know, these are all important things, too, for the first responder perspective, is, you know, knowing what your nutrition plan is, what your body's capable of, you know, whether you're working shift work, you know, whether you're, you know, you have a set schedule. It's important to have a plan because, like we said, you can be stuck on a call. Sometimes it's for days or more that, you know, you don't really get an opportunity to get back on your normal schedule. So if you're thinking ahead about your nutrition and your workouts and everything else, have that plan in place and just, you know, follow your plan. But touching on back on the bodybuilding, again, for those of us who do compete or plan to compete, you know, as Rich always says to us, before you step on that stage, remember, they don't ask you your body weight. They don't ask you your body fat. You know, bodybuilding is really all aesthetics and conditioning within specific age groups. I know that there are times when you can cross over.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you're looking to just compete at a certain age, whether it's masters like me, you're going to be among other masters athletes. But at no point do they ask you how much you weigh, what your body fat is, or any of that. It's all about appearance. So it's a visual sport. If you look good in your clothes, if you look good in your mirror, if you're looking good, you know, based on what your coach is telling you and you're stage ready, then the number on that scale is not going to matter.
And for those that are interested in, you know, this bodybuilding journey, you know, stick with us. We're trying to work through this process to help everyone. You know, we want to help the beginners, to those that are starting their bodybuilding journey, to those that have been in the journey for a while now and just maybe want to hear from someone else.
And that's exactly it. You know, we started very similarly to how we're talking here through the podcast. So we want to make sure everyone understands that was a part of our journey too. We didn't just jump right out there into a gym with a trainer. We learned the hard way and we want to share that going forward. And we're going to get to those important parts about getting stage ready. We're going to get to the important parts about tanning and, you know, the real deep nutrition and all that stuff. But we want you to join us all the way from our journey about self-doubt, frustration, and everything we've gone to, all the way up to appearing on the iconic Mr. America stage. And I think everybody needs to remember, if we can do it,
why not you?
Why not you? Thank you for joining us, and we'll hope you join us again.
See you soon.
Bye.